Hello, Hallelujah. During my class of Micah, so many of you are so sleepy. But now you saw this topic. I see many of you are smiling during the hymn. So maybe you are very happy to see this special topic. Is it true? You're very happy, huh? You're not happy. Actually, this is supposed to be self-study. I'm supposed to be resting. But your class leader, Ban Zhang, told me to share with you about this topic. But I think it's good in the sense that we take all the credits for these 2 weeks learning the book of Daniel, Acts, personal evangelism. We can pass all these subjects with high grades, 90%. But if we fail in this subject, all the teachings we learn will go down the drain. So that's why, even though this is a NYTS, we're supposed to study theology. But don't forget, theology, going to the back, to the root, theology is to change our life. Theology is to study about God, and God wants to change our life overall. So that's why I just make a topic. While you are waiting, I know most of you, actually 99.9% are still single here. So you are still waiting. Who is married here? Raise your hand. Only one, two. Yeah? So 99%, huh? So most of you are still waiting. So what do we want to know about the issues about dating, purity, and marriage, stuff like that? So I will spend some time. This is my first PowerPoint presentation. I'm very nervous, so I never used it before. But I make it quite nice, right? So I want to break it into a few units. First, I want to talk about the time for everything. I hope that even though there's no specific test on this one, but I hope that you are just taking notes for your own reference. After all, you don't learn things for the sake of doing tests. If this is good for you, you put it down and you always think about this. Secondly, different perspective about dating. Now, thirdly, I'll talk about while you are in college. Fourthly, I'll talk about while you are working. Number five, talk about why must we marry in the Lord. Number six, I'll talk about why is it essential to keep purity. Number seven, I'll talk about does it worth to wait. Number six, why is it essential to keep purity? Did I repeat myself? Sorry, huh? Number seven, does it worth the wait? Wow, sorry, why I repeat myself? Hey, first time in PowerPoint, you cannot expect too much, huh? Number eight, where's the line? Number nine, how to deal with temptation. Of course, number 10 in conclusion. And if there's time, I'll give you 30 seconds to ask questions. A time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, everything has a time. If you do it too early, it's not good. If you do it too late, also you miss the chance. I still remember when I go to Africa with Pastor Cole and all the other co-workers there. Sometimes we got really hungry and see mangoes in the tree, just like you heard about Brother Woody said. So hungry, just don't have any other food. And all you have is just some mango hanging on a tree. It's totally green. It's so hard, like a stone. You can throw the people and hurt them. But you're just so hungry. You just climb there and grab it, and you bite it harder than an apple. Sour. It's not good. So just like there's a time for everything. If you do it too early, it's not going to be fine. If you go too late, you waste the opportunity and chance. Now, if you look at God's creation, one thing about special about God's creation. How he created? When he created, first, what he made? He made the world. Of course, from the world, he prepared the Garden of Eden. And then from Garden of Eden, we know he had made man. And then lastly, what he made? He made woman. So, for God, there are always time and the chance or the sequence or the order of things. So we must know, not only do right thing, sometimes it's not just only the matter of doing the right thing, but we'll do it the right time. This is very important. If you do the right thing in the wrong time, sorry, you miss out many things. So, when did God create Eve for Adam? All this sequence is fulfilled. He created the world, Garden of Eden, the place is there, the man is there, everything. The woman's come in. So God just has so good planning. Our God is a God of planning. If after all, sometimes you think that, what can I learn from this God? He's so far away. He's in heaven. What can I learn from him? But just open the Bible. Learn how God planned. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, this is how God first. How did God set his priority? He didn't make all the vegetables first. But suddenly find out that, oh, there's no light. Okay, let's put a light. No, he knows what is the priority. And you know how to do things in the right time, in the right place. Now, the perspective about marriage. Now, the different perspective. Now, if you talk about the perspective on dating, before talk about marriage, must talk about dating, because people think, when should I date, or all my friends outside, they're all dating and all that. Now, what is the perspective? Now, there are two different perspectives on dating. Now, worldly perspective, who can tell me? You know, lots of friends, huh? People always tell you, your friend outside, we have boyfriend, we have girlfriend, we've been dating. Now, what were the motive of people outside? Of course, there are different agenda for male and female. Always different, because men and women are different. So, for the unbeliever, worldly people, what were they thinking when they think about dating? What do they want? Okay, tell me, guys, what do guys want? This is what guys were always thinking. Why? I saw a comic drawing the head. I don't know if this is a head. Psychologically, you know, the brain was separated into different parts. I don't know the name. But what did the comic say? The comic say, what is the guy thinking? Guys are always thinking, especially unbelieving and worldly people, what else can they think? They cannot think about the Bible. They cannot think about the book of Micah. So what is in their mind? Of course, they think when you reach certain age, from age 12 and up, your body is mature. You think about all these things. So why did the worldly people, unbelieving, worldly perspective, dating, when you talk about girlfriends or boyfriend, by definition, you look at the dictionary, always involved already the sexual relationship. So for male, the primary, of course not all, but most of the cases, that is the ultimate goal. Why? Because male is in such an active, permanent, and to pursue the girl, and this is the final goal. But for a female, that can be different. Okay, sister, can tell me something? Love, yes. The thing about love, especially, care. What kind of female will tend to date very early? Especially those who are from a not very happy family background. They do not have their care, their love from their father, their mother. So indeed, they turn to other people to find for care, support, recognition. This is what female always want when they start to have this intimate relationship of dating. Now, for the things I tell you, even though the agenda is a bit different, but there's one thing, the fundamental difference between the worldly, ungodly perspective of dating and the one who we're having in the law later we talk about, is marriage not necessarily an issue here. When they start to date, maybe 4 14 years old, 15 years old. You ask them, why do you date this guy? They say, oh, he's fun. Maybe you ask this male, why are you going with this female? They say, well, she's attractive. But they not necessarily think about marriage. Especially nowadays, marriage was not well respected by human being anymore. So this is the fundamental difference. They don't think marriage is the goal. They just want to have some fun, spend some time together, have some sexual or physical intimacy, and the woman find for love, support, and recognition. This is where they meet, where they meet. However, if you look at the Christian perspective, now, instead of saying dating, I think it's more appropriate. I think it's a mate finding process. Well, you can call it dating if you want, but actually, this is the mate finding process. 你要寻找对象, huh? Now, what is the difference? Yes, when boy meets girl, but if you are in the law, a brother and sister, when you engage in this process, actually, you are thinking to one point, actually, we are going to build marriage. If you ask outsider, if you ask unbeliever, they will not, you ask them, I'm going to marry him. They say, what are you talking about? You just want to have fun. Or we are too early to talk about marriage. But for Christian, for us, the children of God, actually, when we engage in the may-finding process, is when you are ready to thinking about starting a family. You know, God knows when is the good time to tell Adam, where is your Eve? God will not say, okay, bring a woman and tell him, and Adam was so much excited. But God will not say, oh, you're not ready yet, okay, bring her, wait for 10 years. This is not working. God knows when to bring him the woman, and then the right timing, they start to form a family. So this is the fundamental differences of mate finding process in Christ. Or you want to call it dating, up to you, but I wanted to use another term so that we will not be mixing up. Now, what will happen if you do it too early? If you try to start this dating, so-called, or dating too early, what will happen? We know nowadays we must look at the pros and cons. Now, on your studies, this is going to have a great effect. Always people ask, when is a good time I start meeting someone or draw close to opposite sex in the church or whatever. But ask a question. Now, if we start dating or we think about opposite sex too early, what will happen is you have a very serious impact on our studies. I know this your mom has been telling you thousands of times. But this is true. Why? Because when you are emotionally attached, what will happen? You like a girl, for example, you like a sister. Hey, she have not emailed me for 3 days. What's going to happen? And they'll worry. When you're studying your class, they say, oh, where will she might check my email? Hey, later, oh, so excited. But after a while, you don't see her respond. Oh, your heart go down to the up and down, roller coaster. Not only the boy or the girls are the same. So you put another burden on your studies. Already nowadays, studying is very hard, very competitive. Because your heart is only a certain limit of capacity. And secondly, on spirituality, you know, as we have said, this kind of process, if we do not handle it with care, can always bring us temptation. Especially if we meet the people from outside. Why? As I said, if a sister meet unbeliever outside, what was they always thinking? Unbelieving male from outside, if you meet them, they want to date you. What are they always thinking? Sex. And if you always have to push them, or say, no, you cannot do this, and you keep the line, and this is so uncomfortable. Put yourself into such a dangerous situation. And also on the emotional aspect, you're not ready to get married, but you draw close to opposite sex. No matter it's a brother and sister in a church or from outside, it's just like that you're very hungry, you're fasting, but I bring you to show you the food in the kitchen. I know you're hungry when you're fasting, right? Sometimes when you're fasting, you don't want to walk by the kitchen. You can smell the food, but you cannot eat. So the same example. When you, for example, if you're only 15 or 16, or 18, you think about, oh, too much about opposite sex, want to find a mate, or think about all these things, how many more years you have to wait before you get married, tell me? At least you find a job, graduate, and all these things, at least 10 years. So, this is a tough thing if we choose to start it too early. Now, some people ask, now, when I'm in college now, it is a good time. The first year is definitely not a good time. Why? Because the first year you are just so engaged into your study. Huh? You are getting used to the environment. Second year is a good time? Second year not a good time because you must design a major. What do you want to go? Huh? A third year, you have to go to MITS and all this, working in the church so hard. A fourth year, you prepare to graduate. If you fail this one or two course, you repeat the whole year. So fourth year also not a good time. So when is a good time? Fifth year? No. I think when you graduate, when you really start to work, it can be a good time. Of course, not everybody go to college. As soon as you graduate, you're working. Yes, Trevor, you have a question.
Doesn't the Bible say that, like, you're supposed to leave your parents, right? And be joined with your wife?
Yes. Yeah, if you want to start a family, of course you have to be independent. Doesn't mean that everybody must go to college. But the point is, if we do not go to college study, at least we have to have our own job, prepare ourselves. When you're ready to start a family, financially, mentally, spiritually, then we can start thinking about this. Now, what can you do to prepare yourself while you're in college? Now, first go to NYTS. I'm not saying you come here to try to meet someone, huh? No, you come here to learn the Word of God. But getting exposed, getting you know people, because nowadays we say that we need to marry in the church, but if you don't know anyone in the church, it's also very difficult. So join the church activity. Now, the second point is observe in a group environment. Now, why did I say this? Now, I know when you try to like someone, huh? You like someone, you really want to spend time alone with him or her. This is our urge or instinct. Huh? Now, but the problem is, first, if we spend too much time too early and alone, the problem is we'll put ourselves in a temptation. And not only this, the best way to observe a person is not that when you spend time with him or her alone. Why? Because if you like each other, what are you going to do? You're going to present yourself the best, right? You change your clothes, even though you have some bad habit, but you try to hide it. You try to be nice, try to be attractive, try to be funny, try to be cute. Isn't it? It's true. Because you like that person. You like her or you like him, you try to pretend something. So the best way to know a person is not that you choose, oh, let's go out, have a candlelight dinner and we talk. No, it's not like that. Actually, the best way to observe the true self is you observe in a group environment. You look at this brother, always falling asleep during the class. Sometimes it's okay, but not every day, not every class. Hey, look at this sister, putting so much makeup every time coming to the chapel. May not be true. Hey, look at that brother. Look at him when he cleaned the floor. Wow, he really pushed the force on it. When you see the garbage on the ground, you just pick it up without telling other people to do it. This brother, faithful. Oh, and look at the sister. We pray so hard and always want to help other people. So a person in a group, how he behaves in a group environment is the true self. Don't think that, oh, I must bring her out to talk outside in the quiet garden or the park. You know the truth. No. Observe him from the third angle, at the outsider perspective. You know a person's true self. So enjoy yourself. Observe in a group environment. Join church activity. Don't pursue a lonely, two of you alone. This kind of thing is not good. Join more group activity. Now, what can a brother look for? I know as a brother, including me, everybody like to look at beautiful stuff. We all enjoy beautiful things. But the problem is, when you try to find a mate, you're not going to find the one only beautiful outside. Why? Because beauty is the character which faded away the quickest. It fades away so fast. Why? A woman, after give birth, every time is different. The first children, change one size. Give birth to another one, change another size. So, this is true. Look at your mother. Look at your mother. Compared to the wedding picture and now. Well, how much difference? Only in 20 years. Sometimes I ask my mom, is this you? During the wedding picture. She said, yes, it's me. Come on, you silly kid. Yeah, it's me. So beautiful. But 20 years later, it's totally different. But I like my mom. Why? Because she's so caring. She's so supportive. And my father also loves my mom. So even the beauty is not there. But the character, the virtue is there. So sometimes we think, oh, I want to pick the most beautiful one here. This is not the case. I tell you, beautiful thing, even you look at it, every day you feel tired if you only rely on the beauty. Beautiful is very easy, I tell you. Nowadays you go to Taiwan, even though you look very simple, but you go to the studio, I say, I want to take a picture. They'll just put the makeup, the dress, totally you transform. At least on that day, later become normal. So sometimes I tell my wife during the wedding picture, I say, hey, this one really doesn't look like you. And also me, I don't look like myself. I say, yeah, it's so fake, but it looks so beautiful. But cannot last only one day. Hey, okay, after finish the wedding picture that day, oh, remove all the makeup, back to the normal. So look at the outside. It cannot last. There was a brother. I want to tell you this. You know, a person, there are many aspects of his life. This is the beauty, wealth, spirituality, health. What else? Job, career. Now, there are many things in the aspect of our life which can change. This one changed quickest. This one, after 20 years, all the brother here, half of you, the hair will disappear half. Money. Sometimes you have, sometimes you don't have. Job. You get a good job, but you can lay off the second day. Health. Now you're very healthy, but next minute you can just get cancer or do anything. I'm not saying a curse, but this is happening. But the spirituality is the most precious. And it's the longest lasting. Because this is about soul. Soul is something lasts longer. And if you keep the faith, you last forever. So, there was a brother. He was from a wealthy family. He was looking very handsome. He was very gifted. Teaching him, play piano, translation, everything in the church he does. So many sisters. Wow, admire him. That brother is not me, it's okay. Don't misunderstand. But later, something happened in this brother's family. You know, when this brother was so prosperous, so good condition, so many matchmakers tried to matchmake him, and he was so picky. Oh, this sister, no, I'm so perfect. I want 100% one. But he never picked one. But later, something happened in his family. His brother got bankrupt. They moved from a huge mansion house to rent a small house. Suddenly, his family background from one very rich to bankruptcy. Suddenly, all the matchmaker disappear. Nobody dared to matchmake for him. But at that time, he found one sister. That sister, even though the look is not 100%, very normal look, no beauty. Physically, but later, he found out this sister, care for him. Even though when people deserted him, but it's so care and conscience. So this brother know, this is the one. All the things are lost, but this person still show the concern. I know who is the one. So don't just look at the beauty. And all the sisters also the same. Don't look at the jobs. Don't say, oh, he is not professional. I want to marry a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist. Don't be so picky. Don't be looking at the worldly status too much. What should I say? Number four, while you're working, first you must pray. Pray for your marriage. Even now, actually, you can start even though you're not working. Sometimes I think when you have a flu, you still pray for the flu, right, to go away. How much more do we need more to pray for our marriage? This is the biggest decision you can make in your whole life, which will change your life so long, so having so much influence. So we must pray, get exposure. Now, open attitude for matchmaking. Some youth really rare. I went to a church. I asked a sister, "Hey, how old are you?" She said, "Are you a matchmaker?" I said, "No, I'm not. But in my heart, I know a preacher is always matchmaking. Even though I..." She was so frightened. She said, "Oh no, if you are a matchmaker, I'm not going to tell you my information." I don't know why. People are so fear if people matchmake for you. Of course, you can, if you meet someone by yourself in a church, good. But don't feel so negative. Why? Because overall, what make the first marriage exist in the Garden of Eden? It's not by Adam himself searching around, but it's God matchmake for Adam. And today, God will not matchmake from heaven. God will send his messenger. Maybe Pastor Charles' wife made a talk to you, or I can come to talk to you, or anyone preacher here talk to you. So God can send his messenger, be the matchmaker. So open your mind, don't feel negative, nothing to be ashamed about. Even Adam was introduced by God to Eve. Now God knows what you need, not what you want. This is very important. Actually, Adam didn't ask God before he saw the Eve. He didn't ask God, "God, I want one must be born, have a good body, speak five languages, can play piano." Adam did not ask anything, any condition. Adam just, what did he do? Just sleep. God tell him, "You sleep. Don't worry too much. Don't give me condition." And then God prepared for him. So this is what God will know is what you need, is not what you want. Now what happened if you only want to find what you want? That's the problem. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Elizabeth Young, can you read for us? Chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Okay, thank you very much. This is the result of so-called free finding the mate. Instead of asking God's will, who should they marry? The man, the sons of God, which is from the line of what? The line of the people who keep the word of God, not Cain. So these two, they try to find out the marry, because the daughter of man is very beautiful, so they just want to marry. And what happened was, they marry on their own will, and then God's spirit no longer with them. So pray for God's will. No matter you rely on a matchmaker, preacher's, elder, preacher's wife, or you find it yourself, pray, ask God, see whether this is the one, is the key. So do not be too picky too. What do you mean picky? Especially brothers, brothers, should not be too picky. There was a story, people picking stone on a seesaw. "Hey, I saw this stone, so beautiful, but I think on the front there are more better, so put down there. Hey, this not bad, but hey, that one is better. Hey, wow, this is big and beautiful, but that one is more beautiful. Hey, go there." At the end, everything is not satisfied. I say, "Oh, I think the first one is better." Hey, the first one disappear. So do not be too picky. On a sister's side, it's the same. There was a story, Husband store. There was a place called husband store. A place you can get husband. Of course, the story. Okay, you walk in. The rule is, every floor have husband. But you can only, when you go up one floor, you cannot go down the shop anymore. The first floor, you see all the husbands available. They are faithful. They're honest. Okay, they decide, okay, go up one more store. Wow. The second floor, not only the husband are faithful, the brother, not only the honest, but also have a good job, good money. Wow, it's better, right? Okay, but still not satisfied. Go up one more floor. But besides having the good condition on the first, second floor, now this guy's, the husband available there is a professional. Professional. Not just normal job, professional. But not content, not satisfied. Go up one more floor. One more floor. This time, not only having the character of the first three level, but also this time, this guy is humorous, cute, funny. Wow, this is the thing. Yeah. What's the name? I'll talk to you later. So, I said, wow, going up is better. Now, where do I go? I must go to the top floor and find the best one. Rush there. Go to the top floor. Open the door. He see a signboard. No husband available. The top floor, nothing. Sometimes you're so picky. At the end, waiting, 30, 35, 40, nothing. Brother is also the same. Don't be too picky. It's the same faith in the law. The faith is good, the heart is good. Pray to God, ask God guide. Don't just look at the physical appearance. So this is, now let's go to the next one. Huh? Why marry in the law? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Huh? You must marry the same species. So you say, why? We must marry a human being, of course. But verse 19, huh? Not spice, sorry, I mean, not spice, but a species. You know the first PowerPoint experience, huh? Okay, chapter 2, verse 19. What happened here? Verse 19. Okay, Thomas, can you read for us?
Chapter 2, verse 19. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name.
Okay, so Adam went around to see and name each animal. But Adam did not find his helper. Verse 20, but Adam not finding a suitable helper. Why? Let's look at chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed the man from the dust, from the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and the man become a living soul. The man become a living soul. So, Adam, go to the animal, go to the monkey, look around. This one look like a human being, but it's not a human being. It's not for me. Go to a hippo. No, this is too big. Go to the elephant. No, this is not for me. It's not lonely. So, he need to find the same species. Not only a human being, but a living soul. Because in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, Adam was not only a human being, but a living soul. A living, have a spiritual life. So today, we must marry the same species, not only just any human being. We must marry the same living soul, have the same soul, the connection. And also, God tells him, this is your helper. God wants to find a helper for him. We must find someone who really can help us spiritually. And also, must find one inside Eden. God didn't tell Adam, now you go outside the desert to try to find one. No, inside Eden, God will prepare. Because you know, this is from his own body, from a rib. So God make this woman for him and let them join together. If you take a rib from other stuff, maybe the organ rejection, I don't know. Not the same faith, it's not good. So, brother, please, you are having the responsibility. Why? Because nowadays, so many brothers. I know brothers, our church brothers, very good. I'm not saying that for them, not because I'm a brother. But our church brother, very honest, faithful, hardworking. So when they go outside, wow, many women, many female will interest on you. Do you feel the same? Do you agree or no? You know, maybe you're too young. But later, you'll find out that so, Gentile woman, unbelieving woman will be so interested on you. Sometimes you say, oh, the church sister, I look at so many years, I'm not interested. Sometimes you think the one so unexpected, you like it more. But don't forget, the one in the church, same faith, same species. Now, if we marry outsider, we are actually depriving the chance of a sister marrying in the law. Have you think of this? If we marry outsider, unbelieving, a female, actually we are depriving a sister of marrying one in the law, because there are so few brothers nowadays. So we must have the responsibility to keep the word of God. Now, not only of this this teaching, but I will bear my testimony. So cute, huh? Close the light so that you see them better. So this is my family. Now what happened was, of course, I married in the law. We thank God, God provided me a wife. Now, what is the goodness of marrying in the law? I tell you one thing. When you marry someone in the same faith, it's so good. Why? When you see difficulty, troubles together, you can pray together. Look at this, the one in the middle. It's so cute. Actually, all of them are cute and handsome boy. Look like me. But the twins, they were born prematurely. 2 months. So when they were born, one is 1.2 kilo. One is 1.23, one is 1.224. Very light. And the second one, after 7 days, have an infection on the intestine. And the doctor said, it's very dangerous. I'm going to operate on him. So when they were born, it's so small. The middle one is called Samuel. So small, smaller than a chicken. And have to operate on him. We hear the news that night. Me and my wife was crying. We were so worried because the first time you become parent. And the first time you start to worry about your children. In my whole life, I start to worry about my children. This feeling was not there before. But when you become parent, you understand why your parent worry about you so much. Why they talk so much. When you're a parent, you know. But facing this test, facing these trials, what can we do? I tell my wife, we better pray together. Only God can control life. If God wants him to live, he'll live. Otherwise, we can do nothing. So that night, we pray so hard together on our bedroom. First time I realized it's so important to have husband and wife same faith. Otherwise, so difficult. When you're so troubled, you can tell her to pray. Say, what? How to pray? Say hallelujah. Of course, you can teach her during that time, but both of the same, having the same faith, pray to God. And thank God, God healed the son. But the main point here is not that God healed the son. It's that night when we are facing the toughest time in our whole life, you can share with your wife, share with your husband, kneel down to pray together. But if you marry an unbeliever, you bear your cross alone, I tell you. There'll be more difficult. So this picture was taken in a church, a Vancouver church. So the whole family go to church. It's the nicest thing. The whole family go shopping. It's not the nicest because it's good, but it's not the nicest. The best one is the whole family go to church to worship God, even though they run around the chapel, but they still feel good because they run around the house of God. So this is the thing. Because romantic, candle night dinner, all that, I tell you, after you got married, this thing disappear very quickly. All you face after marriage is daily life. How do you face your challenge every day together? So this is my testimony. Spiritual triangle, you all know about this. The husband and wife closer to God, they'll be closer together. Now let me come to the main point here. Why is it essential to keep purity? This is very important. This is one of the main points we have this presentation here. So I hope that you write down this, how to go back one page. Backstage. Okay, there's 7 main reasons why we must keep purity. Now first, if we have so-called premarital sex, first point is our relationship with God will be jeopardized. Why? First, we must feel the guilt because we know this is not good. Jeopardize our relationship with God. What happened? Why so happy? Okay. If we commit this, actually, this is not something funny. Premarital sex actually is called fornication. It's a serious sin in the eyes of God. So we must keep ourselves pure. So jeopardize the relationship with God, reveals so much profound guiltiness and weaknesses. Now, secondly, if a couple, before they get married, already engaged in sexual activity, that will make the relationship very shallow, very easy to break. Some girls, some female think, if I use my body, because my boyfriend, especially, they are non-believer. If I allow my boyfriend to have me, I think by doing this, I can bind them, bind him, huh? He will not go to another woman. Some people, some female have this kind of thought. But I tell you, it's very wrong. Why? I tell you, just like the guy, just like the brain I draw, huh? All they have is what? Usually, I say, oh, I'm not saying this guy, these are good guys, huh? But outsider, whatever, they are thinking, if you give them the chance, if already have your body, they have nothing else to wait. They say, oh, no more new. They will just go to another person easily. Easily. So you're not going to retain them because you give in your body to them. And also, your relationship will become very shallow. Why? Because every time, because you have it one time, it's very likely you do it a second time. Why? There's a reason to stop doing it. They say, well, we have done it before. So every time you come together, we think about these things. So there's nothing else to discuss, nothing else to talk about. You cannot talk about life, your goal, your spirituality, your service for God. Every time you come together, it's thinking about having relationship. So that's why relationship become very shallow. Number three, sex is enjoyable only within marriage, under a safe and secure environment with commitment. This is true. Otherwise, if you do not feel safe, you always think that people may discover me. People think about this. So this is not enjoyable. Sex is only enjoyable during marriage, within marriage, the boundary. Number four, premarital sex will make the couple to lose trust and respect to each other. Why? Because now you can do it. You may think, the bride may think, hey, she did it to me. But maybe it's not the first time, so you can open up for another person easily. Isn't it? So, lose the respect of each other. Number five. Once you have premarital sex, you have no other choice but to get married. Because in the eyes of God, if you already have the sexual relationship, you are already considered husband and wife. So, for example, if brother and sister, you're dating too early, you come in close too early, suddenly you cannot control yourself and fornicate. I'm sorry, I tell you, you must get married. You have no other choice. You're going to say, I don't like him. I like another sister. Another brother, I mean. Or the brother says, I don't like her, I want another sister. No, if you already commit fornication, you have no choice. You must get married. And you have no other option. So this is also very serious. Number six, STD. Do you know what's STD? A sexually transmitted disease. Very serious. This kind of disease harm your body, make your future a mess. This disease, I tell you, many of this STD, they cannot go away easily. Not only talk about your soul, your spiritual life, talk about your own body. So dirty if we do not choose to keep ourselves pure. Number seven, no blessing in the chapel. If already have sexual relationship, even finally you get married, but cannot get married in the chapel. No receive blessing from the worker of God in front of the congregation. Number eight, unexpected pregnancy. Usually when people make this mistake, they are not planned to make this mistake. They will not say, hey, let's do it next week. No, they do it in haste, not prepare. So there's a high chance of resulting unexpected pregnancy because unprotected sex. So spirit, our soul, our spirit, our life, our career, our everything will be jeopardized if we are not careful. So nowadays, the Hollywood movie is so powerful to influence people. You tell me what kind of romantic comedy they don't end up in bed very after a few days they meet. The formula of romantic comedy is a beautiful guy, beautiful girl, meet each other, and next day, where they end up? Bad. And then the story kind of start to develop. Is it true? This is true. But it's so polluting, it's changed the mind, even the Christian nowadays. So we have to keep ourselves pure. Now, does it worth to wait? Definitely. Blessed are the one who can wait. Of course, it's not directly from the Bible, but we can find example from the Bible to prove. Why? Adam waited. Adam slept got him to sleep. He fell in a deep sleep. He waited. God prepared for him. Second, Isaac was waiting also. He was thinking. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 24, 63. I like this verse so much. Genesis 24, verse 63. Genesis 24, 63. He went out to the field one evening to meditate. And as he looked up, he saw camels approached. And Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He's my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. So this is a story of how the marriage of Isaac and Rebecca. Rebecca, we all know this story. But I just like the phrase here. While during the evening time, he went up to the field to meditate. I don't know what he was thinking, but at least he was a person, he can calm down himself to ponder some issue deeply. He's not a person running around rushing, trying to rush something into it. He's just so quiet. Oh, think about life, think about father, think about in future, what God can bring me. Eh? And then at that time, God bring him someone. And Jacob also waited. Let's turn to 29, verse 20. Chapter 29, verse 20. Okay, thank you very much. Jacob loved Rachel so much. So much. But he said, before I get married, we must keep pure. So how many years he has waited? 7 years without touching her, without doing anything to her. And when the times come, he marries her. So it's worth to wait. Now, important concept. Brothers. If you love a person, think about this concept. Don't defile her. If we cannot wait, we rush into the relationship, even with the brother or with the sister, the same church, same faith. But remember, if you love her, don't defile her. Because if we have sexual relationship before marriage, actually, practically, not only defiling ourselves, but also defiling the person you love. So think many times, ask God to give you strength. Remember this concept. And sisters, if you love God, don't let him devour you. Because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple. The temple is not this church. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18. Verse 19. Okay, verse from verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. Chapter 6, verse 18. All other sins a man commit are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So, what is the chapel? What is the temple? The temple is not this one. The temple is not Bowen Park. The temple is our body. So, if you love God, don't let anyone to devour you. This is the spiritual temple inside us. So people will ask, then, where is the line? Where can I up to without committing sin? Some people say, can we kiss? Can we hold hands? Can we kiss? Or can we heavy touching even though we have no intercourse? How about oral sex? Is oral sex a sex? People are trying to play around, trying to find the line. They think they are smart. They think without crossing the line, we will not commit sin. But let's look at what the Bible tells us. Genesis chapter 2 verse 25. Genesis chapter 2 verse 25. This is very important. Let's read once again. Genesis chapter 2 verse 25. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now here, of course, in the physical state, they just got married. And they were both naked. And they feel no shame. Now, even though here did not mention about all the details here, but here only mention about even though they are naked, but how can they be naked and feel no shame when they become husband and wife? So where's the line? Don't try to draw a line. Oh, I can do this without committing sin. We must know, do not do things which is only allowable by husband and wife. We all know what is allowable by husband and wife. So don't think that oral sex is no sex. Don't think that just naked to each other is no shame. It's not sex or intercourse. Only we must follow the Bible. Don't do the things that's only allowable by husband and wife. And also be far from sin. Don't dance around the line. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Don't think that we are very strong. Sometimes we think, I know the Bible, I will not do anything like this. We just know how to stop. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation have seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, here tell us the first part of this verse. If you think you are standing firm, be careful you don't fall. Who are the one who is fall the fastest? Sometimes we look at car accident. Usually the new license holder, they drive so slowly. Difficult for them to have car accident. Sometimes so experienced driver, follow too close. Bang, finish. Sometimes I look at my mom, she's really not a good driver, but she's so scared of driving. Every time she drives, pray, and then so nervous. Thank God, now they still have no car accident. My brother, don't tell you the name. My brother, so enjoy driving, sport car, but bang the car one time already. So, do you think you have confidence? You can control yourself? No, nobody can control. Even preacher, deacon, elder, the same human being. We cannot control ourselves. We must be careful. So what is the best policy? You know, visual, thought, touch, and sex are all sequence. When you come to a point, the desire is aroused. You cannot stop. So what is the best policy? Prevention is the best policy. Let's turn to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. We all know this story, how Joseph resists the temptation. Chapter 39, verse 9. Now, no one is... Chapter 39, verse 9. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master have withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such wicked things and sin against God? And those who spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, and even with her. Verse 11. One day he went into the house to attend his duty, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come in the bed with me. And he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the room, run out of the house. Now this is where's the line. If you want a line, this is the line. What is the line? Do not be in the same room with an opposite sex. This is the safest line. This is the safest line. Why? Because you cannot do bad things. You cannot do bad things outside, right? You cannot do bad things in McDonald's. So many eyes, what can you? But if you do, if you lock inside in a room, nobody watch you, the desire come out. But in McDonald's, it's difficult, huh? So, this is to tell us. Now Joseph also will know how to resist the temptation. The master's wife come to him every day. She said, no, not even with her. So avoid temptation. Now this time, the woman is so wicked, grab his cloak. Wow, I think this temptation has come to us, brother. I think 90% defeat us. But thank God, Joseph, so fearing God, he left his cloak and run outside. Joseph did not say, I cannot do this, but let's sit down and talk. Or let's sit down and preach to you. No. We cannot even in the same room. Some brothers say, oh, yeah, it's okay, we go to the same room, you come to my dorm, we study the Bible together. How does it sound? Oh, yeah, he's godly, I want to study the Bible in his room. Or we come to my room, we pray together. Don't fall into this trap. So the policy, the line is, do not spend time alone with an opposite sex in the same room. Even preacher, pastor, we are taught the same. If you want to talk to me, don't come to my pastor room. I said, come outside, we can sit here, in the first branch, people can see us. Opposite sex, always keep a distance. Because opposite sex attract. This is how God created science, physically, electronically, or whatever. Physical, opposite sex attracts. Positive, negative charge attract. Boy and female attracts. Cool clothes. Finish. So, what can we do? Prevention, not only in the same room. B, be careful in what you see and talk. Especially if you want to really have a job, and then you start really knowing someone, with what you discuss, discuss godly things, talk about the work of God, do more physical exercise. This is good. If we really want to go out with sex, for example, your sister, you have to know her more. Okay, go to play tennis. Oh, whole morning, spend your energy. Wow, after that, so tired. No time to think about bad things. And go home, have a cool shower. So relaxed. And then you go home, bye-bye, you go your way, and I go my way. Don't spend time hiding in the park. This is very, very, very dangerous. And then fill your schedule. Let you be busy. Fill your schedule. Focus on the kingdom of God. Now, conclusion for sister. Song of Songs, to the 4, verse 12. Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 12. Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 12. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are spring enclosed, sealed fountain. This is very precious. Chapter 4, verse 12. This is for sisters. Why? Sister, our body is a garden. I read an article, I know in England, the queen have her own royal garden. Nobody can go to the royal garden, only for the queen herself to enjoy. No other people can go inside. This is reserved for the king, for the queen. And you, sister, your body is so pure. Reserved for your future husband. Reserved for your future husband. This is a garden lockup. Please, do not let your garden be a Central Park in New York. Central Park in New York, everyone can go in, come in. Is it true? If we do not keep purity, oh, this boy come to you and say, hey, you're good. Come to you. And then you open up. Another guy come in and say, oh, we sleep together. This become a Central Park. God doesn't like Central Park. God like us. Keep our garden locked up. Now for the brother, don't laugh so loud. For the brother, don't laugh so loud. This is your part here. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. 16. Should your spring overflow in streets, your streams of water in public square? 17. Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. Here talks about what? Here the fountain, the seat, the well all symbolize the marriage, the sexual relationship within marriage, which is a gift of God. But don't let your water overrun outside. Don't let other people drink your water. Only reserve for your future wife. This is very important. This is God's will, God's teaching. When I was in Kenya, sometimes I know the whole village only have one tap. One water tap. And what happened was, because there's only one, there's not reserved, everybody come to take water. And sometimes even the cow come to drink the water, the dog come to drink the water, and the mud was on the ground, and the water mixed with the mud. Wow, so dirty around the fountain. Everybody come to drink this water. So, we have the fountain. Don't let our water run outside. Keep pure for our future wife. And for God, because God is the one who's looking at us. So in conclusion, let's look at this verse already I posted you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are here to learn all these good teachings from the Bible, but one of the main things is, before we marriage, we must keep ourselves pure. After we get married, also keep ourselves pure. So, body, spirit, and soul, reserved for God on the day of our Lord coming. So, this ends my presentation. My first PowerPoint presentation. You are so blessed to see my first PowerPoint presentation. Now we only have 10 minutes left. Is there any question? How old am I? What? Oh, you're interested in them more than my teaching. Okay, I'll show you. They are three and a half, and one is 1 year old. So cute, the one. Well, you cannot see, so dumb. But one thing I discovered is really it's good to marry the Lord. You share everything the same thing. You pray together the same thing. You go to church together. You work for God together. Even though sometimes so busy, but it's so good to enjoy working for God together. Whole family busy for the Lord together. And I remember on the day of our wedding, we in the church, many brothers and sisters, elder deacons come to bless our marriage. So it's also good. So keep pure. Okay, any more questions? Yes? Their names. One is Isaac, one is Samuel, one is Titus. Okay, any other question? Concerning the teachings or... If no, our 班长有没有补充? Any question? Yes. Okay. First, when you are first approached by, for example, on the sister's side, when you are first approached, even not for the sister, for the brother's name, when you don't, first, at the beginning, you feel that you don't like that person. I think the point is, we must pray first, before we must spend some effort in prayer before we reject. Because why we don't like a person? Sometimes we have all our bias feeling. We are not God. We don't know a person 100%. So you don't like him because you may think he have this shortcoming. But sometimes we don't know on the other side what good points, what virtue he is having. So spend time. Don't just reject at the first. Spend time prayer. Secondly, spend more time observe and know each other. Because if you just reject, it's easy to reject. But everybody is not perfect. Everybody is not perfect. So pray about this. God will guide you to make the right decision. And also brother is the same. But now you're still too young. Maybe in this 1 or 2 years you will not be approached. But after you graduate, or now you're working, the preacher or the pastor, they approach you. You also open up your mind if you are working. Don't think that, I don't want matchmaking. It's not for me. Open up your mind. Yes? If you observe each other at the same time, that means you like each other. Like each other at the same time. Usually the matchmaker will ask the brother first. Yeah. If the brother agrees, they'll ask the sister. But purity, I know nowadays there's so much temptation. Internet, movies, and also all these magazines. Really, we have to keep ourselves pure by the power of God. So the purpose of giving this presentation is ask the Lord to give us strength to say no. Especially when we approach, when we go out to the campus, there are unbelieving male or female approach you. Then what should you do? We must know our stand. We must know our stand. It's good for us. Okay. So if no other question, we thank God for this session and we keep praying for each other. We all hope that. We pray that one day we can all get married in the Lord. This is the best blessing. So... We thank God. Let's pray together to end our session.